the Cold Omaha Podcast Network.
You can put it on the board.
Woo!
All right, Midwest Swing Podcast here. We are catching up with the catcher. It is the first ever segment that we're doing with Twins catcher Chris Jimenez. First, Chris, how are we doing?
We're doing great today.
Yeah, so pretty exciting, very warm out.
Yeah, beautiful day. Looks like we're starting to turn the corner when it comes to the weather aspect of it, and it couldn't come soon enough, let's put it that way.
Okay, so sell it to me straight. What were you thinking when you signed in Minnesota weather-wise? Because this guy played in Texas for a while.
True.
What were you expecting weather-wise? Anybody sell you on Minnesota as a pretty nice place in the summer?
I mean, I knew it was a beautiful place in the summer. I also knew it potentially could be a little chilly, I guess you could say, at the beginning of the year. I've been in this division for 4 years. This is my fifth year in this division. So I've been here a few times through the good and the bad. But I knew during the summer there's really not a better place to be.
How much does it help that you get to wear the most clothes back there, too? So I mean,
when it's cold,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah. Do you actually stay warm behind the plate with all that stuff on?
I have not been cold yet. And it does also help that when I'm sitting on the bench, which is often, they are heated benches, and I do have a spot right next to the heater, the auxiliary heater we have. So this isn't my first rodeo in cold weather, and now that I'm getting older, you kind of figure out all the spots and all the different cities and where to sit to stay warm.
What was your impression of Target Field as a visitor before you decided to play here?
Without a doubt, one of the best, most beautiful ballparks in the league. I mean, not even a question. Ever since 2010, I believe is when it opened up, correct? 2010?
Yep.
Because 9, we still had the Metrodome, because that's where I made my debut there.
Yeah, your MLB debut,
yeah,
right?
That's right. Yeah. I think I'm one of like 4 guys in this room to ever play in there.
Crazy.
That's kind of crazy. But, you know, obviously it's just an absolutely beautiful ballpark. You can't beat it on a day like this, especially when the weather's like this. You know, now it's starting to warm up. Our bats are starting to warm up. It's all around pretty good vibe.
How much does not only the city, but the home park play into a free agent player's decision to sign someplace? Do you think it's a lot, or is it different for every guy?
I really think it's different for every guy, but I can't imagine it wouldn't play at least some part of it. You know, I know that, you know, if you're a pitcher and you're going to a place that's not really known for being a graveyard, you know, that might be some thought into it. But if you're a hitter, and say you're going to a place like Kansas City, which is not really known as a hitter's ballpark, you might think twice about that.
Well, I thought Phil Hughes, too, when he was a free agent, going from Yankee Stadium to here is a natural thing for a fly ball guy like that who's got pretty good stuff. So I thought that was a huge deal. And in fact, it was funny, in his press conference, I said, hey, Phil, did you talk to Mike Pelfrey about the difference in media markets? Because Pelf
came from the other New York.
And Phil gave me a one-word answer, no, I haven't. Or no,
no.
No, just flat no. And I'm like, oh, man.
I can't imagine the New York media market just in general. I'm sure it's an absolute circus.
Bronx Zoo, right?
Yeah, exactly. Concrete jungle in the Bronx Zoo.
So, the real reason I wanted to corner you today, we are in the corner here, walk-up music. I created a Spotify playlist with all your guys' walk-up music, and I'm not sure any team can have such a diverse bit of music. You got Joe Mauer going back to 2000, I want to say 2 or 3 with T.I., obviously harkening back to his early career. Lots of fun stuff. Brian Dozier got the country going on. You got some techno from Jason Castro, and then you got all the Hispanic guys with the crazy names that I can't even pronounce.
Yeah, me either.
I took Spanish in college. I have no idea. I'm going to botch this. Is it Ayokai?
A-okay.
Okay. A-okay. So when I came in here today, the person that's featured on your track, which I believe is Kings of Summer, was spinning something else. And I was like, I think I recognize that voice. How'd you pick that song?
Funny enough, my oldest son, Jace, we happen to have it on, it was either Spotify or Pandora, one of the two. We listen to a lot of music at our house. Mm-hmm. The kids love it. And it just happened to be one of those ones that came on. And
pretty
Jace,
clean song, too.
Pretty clean song, exactly. And the last 3 years running, my oldest son has picked my walkout song, and that's what he decided he was going to pick for me this year. And I kind of just ran with it. I think we actually have been talking about that there hasn't been too many hits in that song, so we might be changing it up here pretty soon.
You know, Doge did that last year, went back to
his original one.
Yeah, GDFR, Going Down for Real by Flo Rida. And it was funny, it was right around the time he turned around and just was blistering.
Went on a fire.
It was about this time last year, so
yeah.
I'm just saying. So do you remember any of the other songs you used?
Yeah, actually, 2 years ago was Cold by Crossfade. I'm a big kind of, I like hard rock. I like country and hard rock.
Okay.
Kind of very random two things to like.
Yeah, well.
I was brought up, born and raised on a ranch, so obviously you got to go the country route. But as I got into college, my roommate in college was a big hard rock guy. I really, really got into it from then on out. So it was Cold from Crossfade. I've had Prodigal Son from Seven Dust, which is a little heavier.
Mm-hmm.
I've had Thrice. Black Honey was my song last year, or 2 years ago.
Yeah, I've heard that before.
I also like that one a lot. That was in consideration to possibly come back this year. But I think my new one I'm going to go with is from 10 years. It's called Fix Me. Good song.
You're giving me a scoop here.
Yeah, that's possible.
I'll hang on to that one. I'll keep it on my hat. How much do players look? Some guys probably really think that's fun to walk up to. Do you even
Absolutely.
Hear it?
You do.
You do.
You definitely
you totally can hear it.
Yeah, you get mad when they don't play it. You
oh,
know?
Really?
Because that's the whole point of it. It's supposed to be a song that either gets yourself or the fans excited for you to get up there. You know, whether you're coming in from the bullpen, starting pitcher coming in from the dugout, or obviously a hitter coming in to hit that, you know, to come up to the plate. That's what it's all about, is to give you that good feel that you need right before you're about to kind of lock it in. And I find myself singing my song all the time.
Really?
Yeah.
So, switching gears just a little bit, you've been in some clubhouses that have won some baseball games, man.
Yes.
I mean, like,
I've been very lucky.
Yeah. Well, I say yeah, like, I'm like, yeah, dude, you're totally lucky.
I ride some coattails.
Well, what's the vibe in this clubhouse? Because you, as a opponent, you probably saw how tough it was around here.
Yes.
What's the vibe like in here? Do you have any sense that this team lost 100 and some games last year at this
not,
point in this clubhouse?
Not one bit. I could not honestly be happier with how the vibe in this clubhouse has really kind of transformed. From everything that I was told last year, that, you know, this was a tougher area for the team. And obviously losing 100 games, I've been on a team that's done that, and I understand the vibe in the clubhouse when that happens. I was younger, and I've tried to learn a ton. I've been very lucky to be on some very, very good teams. A couple of 90-win teams,
yep.
Two or three, and, you know, some not-so-good, some 90-loss teams as well. So I've seen both ends of the spectrum. But, you know, that was a big deal when I signed here, was they really wanted or just kind of asked me to be who I am in the clubhouse. Obviously, Derek and Thad both know me very well from my time in Cleveland and in Texas.
And then Texas again.
And Texas again and Cleveland again after that. So
yeah.
Actually, Thad's traded me to Derek twice now. From Texas.
Well, if he does that now, you're not going to have to move.
Right. Thank God. And that's the first thing I said to him when I got in. I'm like, guys, can we just please, like, can I just stay in one spot?
Sure.
I got too many kids now to worry about transferring kids, plane flights, cribs, diapers, you name it. But, you know, the vibe in here is tremendous. That was kind of my main goal, is that was something that they really hit hard when I did sign here, that they wanted me to make sure that, you know, the clubhouse was in a little better spot than it was last year. And it's really been very easy. We have a tremendous group of guys in here.
Yeah.
And honestly, this is one of the few clubhouses I've been a part of where everybody's completely on the same page, everybody's pulling for each other. You know, we do a little thing after games where we give out a team ball, and it's just really taking hold. And
so you're not doing the wrestling belt? Like,
we don't do the wrestling belt, we go team ball, but we have, you know, we have a lot of fun with it. We got the music playing, obviously the strobe lights going on here, we got a fog machine that we put out.
Okay, so that's,
you know,
so fun.
you gotta have that. You know, we're here for 162 plus games a season. You know, you're here, you're with each other, a group of guys for 8 or 9 months. You gotta keep it light. That's one thing that I found out, that if you don't joke around and screw around, it's not worth it.
Right. Who are the best clubhouse guys you played with that maybe taught you that?
Mike Napoli, I could throw out.
I've heard. Well, the Twins went after him this offseason.
Yes. I hadn't even signed here yet, but I kind of knew I was going to.
Yeah.
And I started trying to pull some strings on that one as well.
You were pulling.
Because him and I played together for 2 straight years in Texas and Cleveland. He's one of the best. Jamie Carroll, who was here a couple of years.
Yep, I remember.
Awesome
Jamie.
Clubhouse presence. I've been very lucky. Evan Longoria, across the yard over here, is phenomenal at it as well. And that's really kind of where I really learned the fun aspect of the clubhouse, was being in Tampa in 12 and 13. Joe did a really good job of letting the players discipline the clubhouse and run the clubhouse, and Longo was a big part of that, and James Shields as well.
Yep.
I could probably name a few others, but there's I've had a very, very good influence when it comes to, you know, kind of learning how to run things around.
Now, you guys have had a couple blowout losses, and for teams with maybe more fragile psyches, that could derail 3-4 days after.
Without a doubt.
You guys have bounced back pretty much every time. What is is that secret sauce or that magic elixir that has allowed you guys to say flush it and move on? Because I talked to Kepler, and he says if he goes 0-for-4, he shows up the next day and he doesn't even remember what the score was.
Absolutely.
Just, bam, go for it.
First thing you can do is accept it. Own up to it. Hey, it happened. It's going to happen. Mm-hmm. The funny thing, after we had a 4-game losing streak at the beginning of the year, and after we had won 4, and I said, listen, guys, joking around, but half serious at the same time, we're going to lose 65 games this year and be the best team in baseball. So this is just one game. The funny thing is, teams can score as many runs as they want. It's just still one game. It doesn't count for 5, you know? I think if you can kind of keep it in that perspective, like, hey, who cares? It's going to happen. The quicker we can move on from it, the better off we're all going to be.
Right.
To me, too, when I would come back in the clubhouse, that's the time when I know we lost, but throw some music on. You know, keep the mood light. Don't let everybody sit here and dwell on it, I think is kind of a key part to it. It's just kind of flush it and move on. It's going to happen.
Yeah.
Especially here. I mean, we're going to take some lumps. Yep. You know, I mean, we're playing really, really good baseball right now. And the funny thing is we're doing it with one of our best players, Byron Buxton, hitting 170. And 2/5 of our starting rotation, we don't even know who they are at this moment today.
Right.
So I think there's a lot of positives to hold on to here. And, you know, we don't really lose sight of that.
Last thing I got for you before I let you go. What is your family and your vibe with Minneapolis right now? Thoughts so far as you've been here for a couple months now?
Especially today, the weather, you can't beat it. I mean, we got to go outside and play this morning. We're out in Uptown. We live in Uptown.
Cool.
And it's a really cool, kind of trendy place, I guess you say. It's not necessarily redneck friendly for me, but my wife loves it, so that's the most important part. A happy wife is a happy life.
I just had a baby, man. I know what you're talking about.
But being able to get outside and just play around and take a walk by the lake.
Yep. Calhoun.
Calhoun.
Yep, check it out.
We've been trying to search out some fishing spots. We might be able to throw a pole in the water for my young guys and just have some fun and really enjoy being outside.
Sweet. Well, hey, thanks for hanging out.
Absolutely.
Catching up with the catcher. We'll check up with you on the next homestand.
Perfect. Sounds great.
Thank you.